ESPN Denver 1600 presents Klar and Company.
And we are back. I'm Michael Klar. He's Mark Knutson. And tell you that the folks who provide all of my liquid treasure, Argonaut Wine and Liquor, are there for the community. We all know to get through this, they've left the liquor stores open. And Argonaut Wine and Liquor, 760 East Colfax, right there by Clarkson, remains available if you're going to go in the store. You can do that. They've got sneeze guards. They've got spacing on the floor. They're restricting the number of customers in the store at one time, employees wearing gloves. So you are as safe as you can be when you shop there. Or you can take advantage of all the different and safer ways to get your liquid treasure. We did this this week, man. We had Lori's wine order. We had the Jalousse Beaujolais Bordeaux Superior, some Pinot Noir Cabernet, some Wenta Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand, vodka, omission beer for me, cognac. We did it all online, and it's easy to shop and pick out what you want. Don't be discouraged if the crush of people ordering this way backs up your order for a few minutes. Leave the stuff in the cart and then come back to it, and it'll go to. And my delivery arrived 1 hour from when I sent it in on Friday. It was incredible. Argonaut Wine and Liquor, they are still open for the community. We'll get through this together. They've supported the community in so many different ways. Argonaut has it, and they deliver. And on that note, we jump right into the segment. Mark Knutson and I welcoming in our Broncos Blast special correspondent, Ian St. Clair. You can follow him at Ian St. Clair and at Mile High Report. And Ian, fans are giddy after free agency, but Las Vegas not impressed.
Okay.
They have dropped the Broncos from 7.5 wins on the over-under to 7 wins, and I'm wondering if it's because having only 2 impact offensive linemen that you can count on at this point is a recipe for disaster for the Broncos.
We're still trying to connect with Ian. I know he's out there tweeting, so he's going to be joining us here shortly, Michael. But I would agree with you. That's my number one concern. Was going into the year, still is, going into offseason, offensive line. And that does not seem to have been a point of emphasis thus far in free agency. They can't, Michael. There's no way they can be satisfied with who they had last year and say, oh, that group's just going to get better. They got to make improvements to that position, don't they? Don't they absolutely have to find somebody in the draft now or somebody still out there in free agency to help this offensive line?
Well, I think they do. You look at it, you've got 2 terrific guards, no center, unless one of them plays center.
Right.
You know, theoretically, their new signing, Jarrell Casey, can move over if they want him to. And, of course, center calls the signals. You need that maybe even more than a guard. And then you've got a tackle who I guess they're banking on the fact that he plays every other year.
Oh,
I don't know.
Good point.
So this should be the year. And then you've got the man who just loves everybody he sees, as you have pointed out, hugs them all at left tackle. And you know, again, led the league in penalties called, not necessarily enforced, over there. And, you know, picking at 15, the mock drafts I'm seeing, the 3 or 4 impact left tackles are all gone at 15. It looks like the way things set up now. And I think 15 would be a reach for the next tackle, but I'm not sure.
Hey, Ian joins us now. Ian St. Clair from Mile High Report. Ian, Michael brought up the point that Broncos' offensive line focus really hasn't been there in thus far in the free agency period. A lot of splashy moves, but not really anybody down there in the trenches. Can you address the needs that still exist at the offensive line positions?
I think they did do that with the addition of Graham Glasgow. I think he, while I was pounding the table for Joe Tooney, I think Graham Glasgow is I wouldn't say he's equal to Joe Tooney, but I think he's one of those guys who is going to be able to solidify the right guard position, but he also brings flexibility, and he'll able to play the center position if they're not able to get what I think is going to be the starting center for the Denver Broncos in either Cesar Ruiz from Michigan or Lloyd Cushenberry from LSU in the second round. And if they have to trade back into the end of the first round to do it, I think that's how they'll do it. But I think one of those two guys is going to be there for them in the second round. And I think in terms of Garrett Bowles, if you look at how he played in the five games that Drew Locke started, he wasn't Garrett Bowles. He actually played adequately. He was actually pretty good. And I think the reason for that is having an adequate quarterback. And he hasn't had that in his first 3 years, having Trevor Siemian, having Case Keenum, having Joe Flacco. He hasn't had competent quarterback play, and now he has that with Drew Locke. And I think when you add in having another year with Mike Munchak, I think that's really going to help him. Is he going to be a franchise left tackle? I don't think so. But I think he is going to be able to be better than he's shown because of Drew Locke. And I think Juwan James, if he's able to stay healthy and he's able to stay on the field, having Graham Glasgow there is going to help him. And I also think having Drew Locke is going to help him. So I think while they haven't addressed it by going out and getting a starting left tackle, like trading for Trent Williams, adding a guy like Graham Glasgow who brings versatility, tendering Elijah Wilkinson who brings more flexibility, who can be the swing tackle, but also the play of Drew Locke is going to be what helps make this offensive line better, just like Peyton Manning did over the course of his career, because the offensive lines weren't that great when he was in Denver the 4 years he was here, but he made them better, and that's what competent quarterback play does.
So Vegas, not Bronco fans are giddy. They gave up very little to get their two linemen. Those were brilliant moves. Those, of course, were trades. Not free agency signings, and they gave up very little, and that was a great way to go, and we applaud the Broncos on that. Vegas, however, drops them to 7 wins from 7.5 on the over/under. Are you with the Bronco fans? Is this a playoff team in your opinion?
Absolutely, because if you look at where the team was last year, they in four games, just if you change the outcome in one or two of those games, and it could easily have changed in any of those games if the referees do their job and don't call Bradley Chubb or Von Miller for roughing the passer, if the team is better prepared for two-minute drills, they're a playoff team. And I think at this point, after free agency as it stands now, this team is better than it was at the end of the 2019 season. And you also add into the fact that there's going to be an added playoff team now. So it's not six playoff teams for conference, it's now seven. So I think this team is absolutely a playoff team right now. I think they're still eons behind the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. I think those are the two class teams of the AFC at this point. But I do think that they're a playoff team, and I think they will be able to contend for a wild card spot.
No, I like Mark Knutson. I still have questions about that offensive line, and you're right, better quarterback play makes for better offensive line play, no question. I still think they're short of pieces, and hopefully the draft, as you say, remedies one of those, provided James does play. It looked to me like Mel Tucker said it at University of Colorado, until we start winning, we are where we are, and that will limit the players we can attract. The good players they brought in were all by trade. Really the top-notch guys, they were not really free agent signings. Is that true? The Broncos have kind of lost their prestige in the free agent market. This is not the Marcus Ware and Ward coming in to play for the Broncos.
I think if you look at how Drew Locke played the last five games, if he's able to carry that over to the 2020 regular season, if there is a 2020 regular season at this point,
he's
able to play like that and carry it over. One of the reasons Graham Glasgow said that he came to the Denver Broncos was because of Drew Locke, was because of the confidence and the swagger that he has and the way that he plays the game. If he's able to carry that over and you're able to get a guy like Henry Ruggs in the first round, which is absolutely what I think they're going to do, especially with bringing back Shelby Harris, which was made official last night. Yep. They're now able to get a playmaking receiver, whether it's Henry Ruggs or Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb or Jalen Reagor. I do think it'll be Henry Ruggs, and I think they will find a way to get him. If that means they trade up to 11 with the Jets, I think that's around the sweet spot where you have to get a guy like Henry Ruggs. It's going to be Henry Ruggs. So if you get a playmaker like that to team with Cortland Sutton and Noah Fant and now Melvin Gordon and Phillip Lindsay, you're going to have an offense that's going to be able to hopefully move the ball and score points, which is what they want. And if they're able to do that, they're going to start winning. And that's going to have – and the main reason will be Drew Lock. And he's going to be able to be that attraction that they haven't had the last 4 years since Peyton Manning retired.
Yeah, I've got one more for you before we run out of time. Go ahead, Mark. Go ahead.
I'm probably going to ask the same question, Michael. We're all excited about Drew Lock. We're all hopeful that he becomes the guy, but you also have to have some quality at the backup position. I personally thought Brandon Allen did a decent job last year when he was in there. I was surprised that they went out and signed Jeff Driscoll. Michael wants to know, we both want to know, why Jeff Driscoll? What made him attractive to this team?
I think he showed that he could be a competent backup, which is what you need. When he came in for Matt Stafford, he was able to do what a backup needed to do. Now, obviously, the Lions are a complete you-know-what show, but that's not Jeff Driscoll. I thought he played relatively well for a backup quarterback, and that's what Brandon Allen was. He was able to play competently for about a game or two, and then, as typical with backup quarterbacks, they come crashing back to earth. So I think you're going to be able to get that from Jeff Driscoll. I think he showed that he could be an adequate, competent backup quarterback if something happens to the starting quarterback. If it's anything more than that, you're going to be in trouble anyway, because, I mean, very rarely is
a
backup quarterback going to come in and be like Bubby Brister, where you're given the keys to the Ferrari and your job is to not crash it, as Shannon Sharp told Bubby Brister in the mid-90s when John Elway got hurt in the second of the Super Bowl run. So I think Jeff Driscoll is a competent backup quarterback for Drew Lock.
Where's Hostetler or Earl Morrow when you need them? Hey, Ian, we got to run. We will read Mile High Report about the good signing, retaining of Shelby Harris, and all the other moves and the preparation for the draft coming up, and we will check in with you in future weeks. Follow him at Ian St. Clair at Mile High Report. Thank you, Ian.
Thanks, Ian.
Thanks, guys.
All right, when we come back, it's Ram Roundup with Kelly Lyle. The coronavirus fallout, how serious are the financial effects for Colorado State Athletics paying off Kansas Fields? The Mountain West Conference, not a Power 5 conference. We'll get into all of that and Trevion Kirk's transfer after this.